For a little while this morning, we're going to talk about what influences you. In Romans 14 and verse 7, Paul said, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." All of us come into contact on a daily basis with all kinds of people. And a lot of these people have an influence upon us. Now, I understand that a husband should have an influence upon his wife. Wife should have an influence upon her husband. Parents should have an influence upon their children. Friends should have an influence upon other friends. Brethren should have an influence upon other brethren. But there are a lot of things that can influence your life from the time that you are born until the time that you die. Influence. A power indirectly or intangibly affecting a person or a course of events. A power, indirectly or intangibly, that affects the kind of a person that you are. That's influence. And I dare say that all of us probably are influenced from two perspectives. A good influence, and also from time to time, a bad influence. I think that this is especially true of young people, but even those of us that are more mature are not immune from this very same thing. But you know, in a lot of ways, we have power over how others influence us. All of us are influenced by someone or something or both. Probably both. Someone. Maybe it's someone that we highly respect. And we are influenced by the way that they live their lives and conduct themselves, and that's a good influence. Maybe it is someone that has been very successful in the business world, and we try to look at them and learn from what they've done, and they have an influence upon us. Sometimes it may be someone that is influencing us in the wrong way, having the wrong kind of influence upon us, taking us to the wrong place, influencing us to do things that we would not ordinarily do were it not for this person's influence. So I guess the question is this morning, how do you handle the influence that others have in your life? How do you handle that? Is it a problem for you? In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul, in speaking to the young, well, he was actually speaking to Timothy, who was a young man, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." He said, "I want you young to be careful now in your youth as to the influence that you are allowing others to have in your life." By chance this morning, there was an article in the Jonesboro Sun that was talking about how much earlier in age today that young people are trying alcoholic beverages. And the writer was talking about that starting at such a very young age, I believe it was somewhere around the age of 12, he said the problems, the risk of the problems that this can have in their lives for the rest of their lives. And I want you to understand today that in elementary school, in high school, and especially in college, this idea of the challenges of taking care of your youth are greatly elevated today, especially by what you allow to influence you and how much control that you allow other people to have in your life. Now, I'm talking to the young, but this is also true to those of us that are older. We have to be careful about what we allow to have an influence in our lives. Let's look at some things that can influence and change our lives as we make our way here upon this earth. Number one, and I am really concerned about this, what the world accepts can in time become the normal for us too. Now, it doesn't start out that way. But little by little, what the world accepts can influence us to do the very same thing. Now you just think about that. You think about the changes that have taken place in the American way of life little by little by little over the last two or three generations of people. Television, the movies, what we see in public today, the way people dress, the lack of respect even for themselves, the lack of respect in a lot of families today. And little by little by little, this has even affected those of us who are members of the church. Things that ought to be offensive to us today. Things that we ought to be highly concerned about. They don't have that kind of effect upon us anymore. At first, we look at these things as terrible. But in time, Satan begins to wear us down. And when we hear foul language on television, whereas at one time it was offensive to us, we don't pay any attention to it now, do we? You go to a movie today, and if you go to the wrong kind of movie, you are exposed to all kinds of things. And a member of the church would not have dared done that 10, 15, 20 years ago. But we do it now without really even thinking about it. The way people live their lives, even Christian people, the clothing that they wear, how they present themselves in public. People don't think that much about that anymore. And the question is, why? Why don't we? Why doesn't it bother us? Has God changed His mind about these things? No. Well, who has? We have. And Satan is wearing us down. And a lot of Christian people have lost their resolve to fight. And so they just throw up their hands and say, well, what's the use? And they just sort of go along with the ways of the world. Influence. These things, worldly things, immoral things, are having a dramatic impact in the lives of so many today. We are no longer shocked or embarrassed by things that ought to shock and embarrass us. It ought to. In fact, if we are the godly person that we are supposed to be, it will. But with many today, we don't think that much about it. I'm going to present a question to you. And you can say, well, this is absolutely none of your business. But how do you allow your daughters to dress today? In public? When they go to school? When they go out in public to a ball game? To some kind of a social event with friends? When they just go out? How do you allow them to dress? What is appropriate and inappropriate in your minds today? Can a pair of shorts be too short? Can a dress be too short? Can a top be too low? Or do you just sort of let your daughter dress herself and you never say anything and just sort of go along with it? That's the way of the world. And too many times today, that is the way of many in the church. Brethren, it ought not be that way. You know, I'm reminded of Titus 2 and verse 14. There, Paul said that God would purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people. You know what that is? Peculiar to the point that God's people are not like the world. We don't dress like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't go where the world goes. We're different. We are a city set on a hill. And our light is there, or it is supposed to be, to show others Christian living and the way to our Lord by our example. Jeremiah hit the nail on the head in chapter 6 and verse 15. He said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall from among them. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. He said, you couldn't embarrass these people anymore. They'd go along with anything. Can you be embarrassed today? I'm going to tell you something, brethren. A lot of times today, I'm embarrassed for other people. By their conduct, their attitude, and the situations that they allow themselves to be put into. Jeremiah knew just exactly what he was talking about in his day and time. And I submit to you that this is the same thing today. There are things that ought to make us blush, that ought to embarrass us. And I'm afraid too many times today that they don't. These are things that used to shock. But they no longer do. When's the last time that you were really shocked by something that you saw at the grocery store, Walmart, television? When were you really shocked? I hear people today, even members of the church, talk about a particular series that they're watching on the television. What kind of a series is it? Is it wholesome or is it violence, profanity, immorality, and we're so tied up in it that we can't wait for the next episode in the series? Brethren, we are allowing the world to influence us. Number two, home life. Home life. More and more I realize I judge things by the way that I was raised. Do you? Now, I'm 68-year-old and I've had a lot of time to think about the way that I was raised, the values that were put within me, and how it has affected my life. What about these young people out here today in this audience? What kind of values are being put in them? By who? Their parents? What are you allowing your sons and daughters to do today that you are somewhat concerned about? Let me tell you something. What you allow to go in your sons and daughters now will be with them the rest of their lives. And don't you ever doubt that. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, the wise man said, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Are you doing that? Are you training your children? I'm talking about your babies. I'm talking about your young children. I'm talking about your teenagers. Are you training them in the way that they should go? Let me tell you something. If you're not, somebody else is. And most of the time, it is the world. And their values are not God's values. So you know who it falls on? It falls on mom and dad to do the job. You train your children. You brought them into the world. You took the responsibility. Do it. And there is no excuse that we can make today that will change this responsibility. Let me read something. I watched him playing around the door. My neighbor's little boy of four. I wondered why a child would choose to wear his dad's old, worn-out shoes. I saw him try with all his might to make the laces snug and tight. I smiled to watch him walk, and then he'd only step right out of them again. I heard him say, his voice so glad, "I want to be just like my dad." I hope his dad his steps will choose, safe for his son to wear his shoes. And then a shout and a cry of joy. A "hello, Dad," and a "how you doing, boy?" They walk along in measured stride, each face aglow with love and pride. "What have you done today, my lad?" "I tried to wear your old shoes, Dad. They're big, but when I am a man, I'll wear your shoes. I know I can." They stopped and stood there, hand in hand, and he saw his son's tracks in the sand. His words, a prayer, came back to me. Lord, let my steps lead him to Thee. Oh, the power of those words. I cannot tell you this morning, brethren, how much I learned from my dad. How much he influenced my life. And how much I still miss him 31 years later. My heart sometimes breaks at the thought of losing my dad. And I wanted to be just like my dad. I have tried to the best of my ability to instill that within my son and in my daughter. Only time will tell if I have done my job. Sometimes I feel like in some ways I have failed. And that breaks my heart. But you see the power of this verse? When he is old, he will not depart from it. You are determining what your children will be as adults, but what they see at home. Do they see a mother and father that loves one another, respects one another, is mindful of one another? Or do they see something far different to that? Continual arguing, no respect, hollering and screaming all of the time. I pray not. I pray not. Because you cannot imagine the influence that that has upon your children. Your faithfulness to God sets the example of usually the faithfulness of your children. Now, I'm not saying that that's always the case, but it is that way a lot of the time. Your faithfulness will have a lot to do with the faithfulness of your children. Are you faithful? Do you try to encourage your children to be faithful? And always work. But we never should quit trying. Never. I have two grown children that are kind of starting to get up in their years. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I will never, never stop trying to influence them. They may not be babies anymore. They may not be under my roof. But I'm still going to try to influence them, to lead them in the right way. Remember the consequences of your shortcomings may have a direct impact upon your children. Do you want to be the one that sends your child to the devil's hell because of your example? We don't even like to think about that, do we? But the reality of it is there. The reality of it is there. I want to be just like my dad. I want to be just like my mother. And the impact of that in regard to your children. Your friends influence you. All of us need friends in this life. To have friends, Solomon says you have to show yourself friendly. But a lot of us have friends. And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. What kind of friends do you have? The right kind of friends? Friends that do not corrupt you, do not expose you to things that you don't need to be exposed to, do not encourage you to do things that you have no business being involved in. Friends can have a big impact in your life, and they can have a lot of influence in your life. And I especially understand this morning that young people want to be accepted by their peers. And they want to fit in. And so, sometimes they are influenced to do things that they would not ordinarily do. And we have to be aware of that as parents. Do you know who your children's friends are? How involved do you get in your children's lives? Do you just turn them loose and let them pick their own friends and have no idea what kind of friends that they have? That's dangerous. They may be 15, 16 year old and they may think that they know all that there is to know, but in reality, they know nothing. I've been there. I know what it's like. And I'm going to tell you, you can have the wrong kind of friends. And you have to be extremely careful in 2016 who your friends are. If you've got good friends that are influencing you in the right way, you keep those friends. But now, if it's the other way around, and your friends are not what they ought to be, you better get you some new friends. You better get you some new friends. What kind of friends do you have? Are we as close as brethren as we ought to be? And I can't answer that. But you can. Do you try to influence your brothers and sisters here to be better? To be stronger? To be more mature? And to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Or are you lacking in regard to that? Do you allow them to influence your standard of right and wrong? I'm going to tell you something you can't do. You cannot let the world set your standard of right and wrong. That won't work at all. Can you let your friends determine your standard of right and wrong? Can you? I pray that you're letting this book right here set your standard of right and wrong. And the kind of people that you want to associate with and have in your life. We have been studying on Wednesday night, that we're studying in 1 Corinthians. We've been talking about the man that took his father's wife. And Paul was admonishing them and telling them that when you just allow things like that to go on in the church, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump and it influences everybody in the church. And how true that is. So I'm asking you this morning, are you the kind of a Christian that you ought to be? That you can exert a good influence upon us. One another. Many good Christians have been destroyed by the wrong friends. Now you think about that. Oh, it started harmless, but it didn't end up harmless. They allowed the wrong people to begin to influence them. And before they knew it, they didn't have the same values. They weren't living the same kind of life. They weren't going to the same places. They weren't doing the same things. And they drifted away from God. Why? Wrong influence. Wrong influence. What and who is shaping and molding your life? Let me ask you, parents that have young children, would you allow your son or daughter to go to somebody's house to spend the night that you didn't know anything about? Would you? I wouldn't. Too many things can go wrong. You need to know the environment that you're putting your son or daughter into. That goes back to knowing your children's friends. Brethren, we as God's people, what are we allowing to shape and to mold our lives? Influence. All of us, all of the time, every day, we are confronted with influence. We can do this and it'll save you some money, and it may not be exactly right, but it'll work, it'll be all right. Do you allow that to influence you? Now, I tell you what we can do. We can save you some money if we'll do this or that. Rosemary can tell you a little bit about that in regard to what she got into and selling a motorcycle. Everybody else does it. You can too. Sure you can. But is it right? Is it right? Brethren, God is holding us to a higher standard. We're not the world. We're not of the world. Enmity with the world, friendship with the world, is enmity with God. I don't want to be a friend of the world. I want to be a friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. That's what I want to be. Now, if you're in the building today and you have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, whether you realize it or not, you are an enemy of God. I don't care how good you are morally, how honest you are, how people respect you. If you're not a child of God, you're an enemy of the Lord. If you have obeyed the plan of salvation, you've repented and confessed and been baptized, been added to the body of Christ, and your life has slowly but surely slipped away from God. You're not doing what you know you need to do. And your brethren know that you're not. Why don't you come and let us pray with you and for you today? Get you back on track before it's too late.